Let's we're gonna talk about Rosh Hashanah tonight. Yesterday, starting in sundown and up to sundown tonight, was the feast of Rosh Hashanah. In a sense, we never do them at the right time anyway, but they still have the meaning because we're seeing their typology. We're gonna look at it tonight. Rosh Hashanah, in one sense, means the Rosh is the beginning. In another sense, the word Hashanah, literal translation, means the beginning of the months. But another translation, it means the beginning of the time, or the beginning of the new time. And it's it was so important from the standpoint of the feasts that it was the day that God chose that Christ would be born. Well, that's a pretty big, it's the least understood, the least celebrated of the feasts. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. In the spirit, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the eighth day. It's the beginning of the point in time in which you're no longer subject to any of the world. That's why Christ was born on Rosh Hashanah, so that you would be free from the world. There's all kinds of things that were done on Rosh Hashanah, but the essential element of Rosh Hashanah was the blowing of the ram's horn. The reason is that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, it's the day in which Satan was the accuser before God. The ram's horn was blown by tradition in the Talmud so that God couldn't hear Satan's accusations. Now the reason and God cannot hear Satan's accusations is because it's the day of Christ. Now,
how does that tie?
He can never hear him.
Because Christ was born in Rosh Hashanah.
The Israelites didn't know
about that. I mean, this is he
but
can what?
Satan's still up there accusing.
And he could, but from now on, to you, when you know the sound of the trumpet, you remember, happy is the people that know the sound of the trumpet. Which is one of the psalms we'll read here in a minute. Now in the temples now, what they did for the 24 hours of the, and they do it in the Orthodox ones, they probably sit around and eat caviar over Reformed ones, but they blew the ram's horn for 24 hours, nonstop. Someone blew it. I mean, one person didn't blow it. Why?
Well, must be tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lips.
Well, they have several.
Wonder what the ram
thought.
No God.
International sound.
God didn't hear that.
Did you say Satan can't hear God's accusations?
God cannot hear Satan's accusations. Now the point of it is the seed of Satan is the seed of the Antichrist. The seed of the Antichrist is your mind.
Seat.
Therefore, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, your mind can no longer accuse you. If you see it in the spirit of what's really happening, if you understand it. And remember, all of these feast days that we celebrate have one function, just like in the study of the tabernacle, the reason that we're going to study it is so that we can open the ark. But woe unto him who has opened the ark without knowing who he is. The reason we study in knowledge each of these feasts is so that they are realized experientially in you. Now, we haven't even hardly scratched the surface in the study of the feast, because some of it's kind of frightening. But I want you to know that the meaning of Rosh Hashanah in this vessel is that on this day, the beginning of the eighth day, that when that ram's horn and it's blowing in the spirit, Satan can no longer, God hears none of the accusations. Who is he that accuses? Now, because of this, it is the day of the most incredible miracles in the history of Israel. Because it's God's good pleasure to give everything, to make it manifest that you own all things, that all things exist for your sake, that you have the authority to speak something into existence out of nothing. It's the day in which need is impossible. Now, there's all kinds of vain traditions in the Talmud about what happens on Rosh Hashanah, but, and I won't bore you with all of them, but one of them is the earth was created on Rosh Hashanah. And one of them that isn't a tradition that we can prove by the scriptures is that the walls of Jericho fell down on the day of Rosh Hashanah. And so one of the things you do then is you read Psalm 47 seven times. And it was done as the priest marched around the altar and recited Psalm 47. All of the gathered people recited it seven times as they marched around the altar. Now, what does that mean to you? What the walls of Jericho? Jericho was the first place in the Promised Land that Israel confronted, and it was an impenetrable. I mean, they had to get by that, or they couldn't have entered and taken it. And so, it means all of the walls that separate you from the Father, all the walls that separate you from the brethren, all the walls that separate you from the seeing that you're in the New Jerusalem are destroyed on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to read this seven times.
47?
Psalm 47.
The walls come down so the wind can come through.
Amen. And there was in the process, it's a great honor to be asked to read the first one, the first time, to be asked to read Psalm 47.
Get Doug to read it. Set up.
Doug.
Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Okay, now.
An expansion.
Okay.
About he chose our inheritance for us. I was thinking, if we had chosen it, we wouldn't. It would not even be close. I mean, we have no idea, what he is doing in. Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't even be able to choose a pimple on the inheritance.
We would have chosen what Lot chose.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Good point.
The Green Valley.
look good for a time.
I'm waiting for my blessing.
Blessing on rabbit.
Rabbit.
Rabbit G.
And Rimbo.
A couple of points. In verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. That's a terrible translation. It says, sing ye praises all who have understanding.
That's what I have written here.
What?
That's what I have written in mine.
Yeah.
That's because we probably talked about it before.
Well, yeah, I wrote it underneath it.
Oh. The second is that in verse 9, where it says, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. The word shields is simply the symbolism of all the power of the earth. There is no power, there's no situation that you can possibly confront in which God isn't the power. So all of the power of the earth belong to God. And then for those of you who still don't know, whenever it says Selah, it means consider this carefully. Okay? Hari.
Again?
Yep.
Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible, and he is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises, all ye who understand. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For all the power of the earth belongs unto God, he is greatly exalted.
Okay, now another where it says, that God has gone up with a shout. That doesn't mean that Christ is risen. It means that you got to understand, they'd been messing around for 40 years in the wilderness. Whole bunches of them had died. They'd finally crossed over the Jordan, and so now they felt like there was the promise. They were about to receive the promise, and there was Jericho. Jericho was terrible. It's anything you can, you know, I won't go into you with all the potential allegories. But what it is, where it says that God has gone up with a shout, that means that God has gone to that wall even as we speak. That God has gone to that problem even as we speak. And he's gone there with a shout. And when God shouts, nations are in big trouble.
Nations in this case happens to be us. Or the inside our head, isn't it?
Well, it's both. Okay, Jude.
Oh, clap your hands.
Clap your hands, all ye people, sing out to God with a voice of
triumph.
Shut up. Okay.
For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet.
Amen.
He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the shout of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Just visualize that, you know, this isn't one of the prescribed feasts, so that there aren't, you know, the millions of people in the temple, but there's bunches, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the temple. And the way the temple was constructed, they all looked and up and saw the humongous altar. And they saw the white-clad priests the wall, remember the courses of priests, there's 144,000 priests, but only a certain number of them were in this course. Maybe it was 1,000. So there was 1,000 priests. And they got wild. And they were dancing and singing, and there's this humongous, remember the thing we talked about, that their orchestra was, and what, was, the Talmud says it had 20,000 trumpets. I mean, it's big time.
It's horn section.
It's big horn section.
Tight.
And they're up there, and the people, when we were reading it, I could just visualize them. You know, I'm standing down there, and I'm watching this thing, and it's going on up there, and there's a great many of the people that understand. Now, visualize Christ. At least three times after he fully knew who he was, he more than likely attended this feast. It wasn't mandatory. So he's watching it, and he's doing it, and he's understanding that this is being sung about him. Now I want you to understand this is being sung about you, because it's Christ in you. Jan?
With 1,000 priests singing and 20,000 trumpets playing, it would be very hard to hear an accusation.
Yeah, you can't hear an accusation. Okay.
Oh, clap your hands, all you people, shouting to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Question. In 4, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. The excellency is us.
Well, go to 1 Peter. One, verse 3. Well, this is kind of neat. We ought to read it for. This sort of talks about this. Lost by the nickname. I mean, more than the one verse. That was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And that means that, you know, it. Anyway. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now we know that reservation isn't time dependent. The reservation is now. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And the word kept means garrisoned, surrounded, protected. Now, remember, one of the blessings or one of the things that's said is, remember at each feast you drink the toast of sanctification? Remember what that just said. It said, so what we drink, if we had wine right here, we'd drink this. Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life and has sustained us and privileged us to reach this time. Now, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in this time. It's the same thing. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness or are depressed through many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation or appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That's what all these deals we're reading about. All these people that celebrated this for centuries, they were celebrating what is being revealed unto us now. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things, in the Greek it says, which things even the angels desire to look into. Well, the rest of it is needs. But let's go on.
It just really struck me when you said that prayer about, you know, God has kept us in life, you know, to this day, so that we can, right. I mean, in essence, so that we can find the grace in our head.
Amen.
It's mind-boggling that God has even messed with us.
Okay, Jen, you just read it. Pete.
Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom we love, to see them. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, who is great and exalted.
Rhonda? That now they're going to... Huh? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay.
Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Now you know what happens in the seventh reading. On the seventh reading, the walls fell down. Read about it in Joshua when you get home. Joshua 2, I think. 2 or 3 or 6 or 5 or anywhere.
Just read all Joshua.
It's one of those early Joshua stuff.
Read Judges way down.
Go ahead. You ready for it to fall? Whack!
Ready, set. Well, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Amen. Now, Nehemiah 8, 1 through 10 was read. Larry, read 8, 1 through 10.
Oh, 8.
And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel.
Okay, they gathered as one person. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay.
And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month.
And okay. The first day is obviously today. That's the seventh month. So that's the beginning. It's the Jewish New Year. In terms of the calendar New Year starts at Nisan, but the spiritual year starts. It's two different calendars the Jews use. Now, don't want to get into that. Yeah, the law, when it says they read the law or he brought the law of Moses, remember what I told you that was. It's Exodus 23 through Exodus 31. It's those chapters that we've just gotten through studying. Okay? It wasn't the whole
Torah,
what we now know as the Torah. Okay?
And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, and Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. On his right hand and on his left, Padiah, Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Habadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Yeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbatai, Odijah, Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Kaliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place.
Well, let's stop a minute. You guys, we got to get you the thing that's happening here. For many, many years, Israel had been in bondage in Babylon. The temple had been destroyed. Ezra and Nehemiah were the sort of the leaders in this period while they were in Babylon. Well, then what happened was is a lot of these Jews got to be very wealthy, and they were prominent bankers and merchants in Babylon.
This is after the time of Esther, when they were prospering after that time.
Right.
And
so they're in Babylon. And Babylon is the it's big time. It's the New York or Rome or Paris. I mean, it's the big. And so Ezra and Nehemiah call for the return to Israel, because they say there can be no life of a Jew unless he's in the temple. Only the very poor and the very screwed up Jews went back. All the rest of them stayed in Babylon. So only very few, and somebody said there was less than 20,000 that went back. And they then, through Cyrus's help and others, they rebuilt the temple. And so this is now, they found that the Jews have been in diaspora, they've been all over the place. They've been in Babylon and Assyria and Iraq, what's now Iraq and Iran. And they've just been having a good old time, except for these poor, sick, make it, the ones that had failed.
The offscouring.
The offscouring.
And nothing left to lose.
So they these are the ones that picked up all the rich Jews, stayed in Babylon, got assimilated.
These are the guys that wouldn't have made a big impression if they'd kept being.
Right. They went back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple, long, painstakingly. While they were still in Babylon, Ezra and Nehemiah are allegedly the ones that started the three-year cycle, too, because they started that reading so that people would be reminded. But they didn't. They didn't do it. Nobody did it because they didn't have any way, they didn't have any reason because they got too busy with their own stuff. Okay, so this is where we are now, okay?
And Nehemiah, which is the Tishrite, Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the strength of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
You know, listen.
That's great.
Listen. Listen to this. This is really neat. In verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So they knew what they were doing. They knew without doubt. Well, this then becomes the basis in Nehemiah. Nehemiah and Ezra are incredibly important to the body of Christ because they gave us the true meaning of preaching and of teaching, which is this. Read in the book the law of God distinctly, give the sense, cause them to understand the reading. Now, when it says cause them to understand, it means that they made it meet to the listener. They emotionalized the experience. It wasn't just something in their mind.
Yeah.
They became mystics.
They turned it into the written Bible.
Right. They became mystics in that they experience what they know. That's all a mystic is. Now, so then they read the law. With that understanding, what happened? For all the people wept when they heard the law. Why did they weep? They saw its impossibility. They saw the perfection. They wept. They mourned.
They probably recounted the story of why they had gone into captivity and that everything had but the essence of the end of it they said that it was fulfilled just as it was written, and they were telling them all that would befall Israel and the things that had happened to them. They saw, you know, as had been prophesied that they would go into captivity and then they knew it was true. They knew that that's what had happened, and then when they read the law, they saw the justice, you know, what God required and that all that had been done, and they remembered back on everything that they knew personally, and then it must have just been wild for them to say, you know, God has been. I mean,
they said the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's it. It's funny that there's not a place of poorness that's poor enough not to weep at the reading of the law. Because you think about, these are just the scum, you know, came back from Babylon or whatever, that they should have been, you know,
right
down there or whatever. But
they should have, if anybody could have said they'd repented, it was them.
It was them. And there's never a place where...
There's never a place...
They were probably afraid to call themselves Israel.
All right. There was never a place to stand. Mm-hmm. And at that recognition, then a voice cries out, "Fear not, neither be afraid, neither mourn, neither weep." But you know what it says in the New Testament with regard to this? It says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the desires of the flesh, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
I got a question on verse 10. We saw last week in Leviticus that God made a perpetual statute that they should not eat the fat. And yet here it says, go and eat the fat.
Oh, yeah.
So the governor and the scribe are saying, go break the law.
They're saying that in the joy of the Lord,
they're eating the Lord's
portion.
The law
is fulfilled.
They're eating the Lord's portion.
Okay, now at this point, after they've read the Psalm 47 and gone around the altar seven times and they read Nehemiah, then the rabbi stands up and he proclaims in the temple to the people, "Awake, awake from your slumbers. You who have fallen asleep in life, reflect on your deeds. Now, this time, remember your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things. Even now, forsake your ways, all your thoughts, which are evil." Now hear me. You've all heard this, or a lot of you have heard this before, but listen to this carefully. This is the provision for Rosh Hashanah. "Awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life. Reflect on your deeds. Remember your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things. Forsake your ways and forsake your thoughts, which are evil." That doesn't mean just keep the good ones. It means all your ways, all your thoughts, all your ideas, all your opinions. Let them, to forsake means to let them go. To really, the real meaning of the word forsake, however, is even, no, I don't get it. Now we read Psalm, then we go in the process, we read Psalm 89. One through 15. Remember that. No. Remember that all of the Psalms were sung, and all of the Psalms were perfect poetry. But we're not singing them right.
Well, we go for what we got.
Well, right. You know what Nehemiah said.
Right.
What did Nehemiah say about serving the Lord?
Right.
Do your best.
Now we've lost the original. No one knows what the music of the temple sounded like. No one knows what the music of the Psalms sounded like.
That's unfortunate.
Okay, Psalm 89, 1 to 15. Pam?
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. Build up thy throne to all generations.
You know, the seed of David is obviously Christ. map your life.
And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him.
Amen.
O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain.
Okay, stop a minute. Rahab is the symbol of the world, or Egypt. Remember when we were on the trip, we saw and we looked and saw the campfire. Well, that's what God is saying here, that the world and all that's in it, and all its value systems, all its goals and ambitions, all of that is in that fire. Now, if you're a fool, you're going to run around and chase the smoke. That's what you're doing in the spirit when God in his mercy says, okay, go chase smoke for a while. But the moment you see it, you better return, my friend.
Yeah, there's something about using the word. It's like you can use a fire by just standing and get warm by it. If you get in it,
you burn.
Or chase after it, either one of those things.
Okay, so Rahab is the symbol of Egypt, which is the world and all that's in it. He's cut it in pieces, just like he did Agag. No matter how good it appears, no matter how righteous and nice it appears, cut Rahab in pieces. Okay, read 10 again.
Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance.
Okay. Again, in the better translations, it says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of the trumpet. Psalm 98. See that? So anyway, the essence of Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the new time, the beginning of the time in which you're no longer subject to anything in the world. Daryl. Read.
98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Okay, now you guys remember what that means. The right hand is the Zeroah. The seed has gotten him the victory.
Run that by me again.
The right hand is the symbol of strength.
Right.
But in the spirit, it's in the word in the Hebrew is Zeroah, which means the seed. That's why... In mistaking, generations of people have worshipped or given breath to the seed of, you know, their generation, their prosperity, you know, posterity, their children are going to give them life eternal. But it's the seed of Christ, his seed, that's gotten him the victory.
Right. The Lord hath made known his salvation; his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen.
Amen.
He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Past tense.
Make ye joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make ye loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the song. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity.
Amen. Now, the next reading is Jeremiah. Now they read Jeremiah 31. Verse 2 to verse 20, right after Isaiah. I'm going to read it because I'm going to read it quickly. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel. What? Jeremiah 31, verse 2. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Who is the Virgin of Israel? The bride. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. That's another story. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. You know what, when it says, save thy, you know what that says in the Hebrew? It says, Jesus thy people. The word Jesus is the Hebrew word which means save, Yeshua, or Joshua. So whenever it says save or deliver in the Old Testament, it says Jesus, my people, or Jesus, me, save me, or deliver me, Jesus, me. Isn't that wild? Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him, from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. Now remember, whenever you see the word Zion, or it's Jerusalem, it's not talking about some physical land. It's talking about, it says, they that trust in the Lord together are as Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is where the temple is. It's here. And shall flow together in the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Now that's what happened in Bethlehem when Herod ordered the killing of all of the children, because he had heard that the Messiah was born, or that a king that was going to overtake him was born, and he ordered the killing of all the children. This is prophesied that. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Don't you see? Every child save the Christ is killed. even that apparent terrible destruction of the wiping out of every child under 2 years old was God revealing Christ by the cross.
So they were weeping, in Nehemiah, they were weeping for themselves because they couldn't do the law.
Right.
And they were seeing their death.
And they were seeing the cross, just like here in Ramah, which is it's Bethlehem Ephratah. It's the same place as Ramah. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. What that says is shub, or repent me, repent meaning the act. You make me repent, I will repent. Surely after I was turned, I repented.
What version?
19.
Do you understand that?
No.
It's God that does it. Next time you think that you do something when you repent, it's God that does it. And after that, I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did not hear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Wherefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Now, Ephraim is simply another word for Israel, a name for Israel. But my point is, the meaning of all this to you is that the feast of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the time, it's the celebration of the beginning of the time when you're no longer subject, when a new thing is created, and you sing a new song, and you're not subject to any aspect of the old. Now, there's all kinds of other legends, which we'll talk some more about later, about Rosh Hashanah. We'll just talk about Rosh Hashanah this week, but see it for what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Can you pray, Derek?
Father, we just praise you and thank you that in the spirit we experienced tonight, we've seen the walls of Jericho, those walls that separate not only you from us, but us from one another.
Amen.
That we are one person. We are the bride that's being perfected, that you love. We just pray that will be open to your inheritance.